generic metal knuckle serves that purpose of tending to restrict the term instrument. Mm-hmm. That's a consideration.
Okay, well, what, I guess I'm just trying to figure out, what are we trying to get at? Certain kinds of non-firearm objects, when concealed, ought to be illegal to have in one's possession.
Ships. I'm trying to get at ships. You want it? You want it? Prohibit concealing ships, some kind of a ship. Is that what you want to do? I mean, I'm all for this switchblade. And if there's some other line, I mean, if you want the dirk and dagger in there, I just have a problem with that broad language, any instrument by which. If you want to nail down some dagger-like and knife-like objects in the statute, that's fine with me. Paul?
Well, I guess I fall back on common sense a little more than I probably should, but there's no purpose in my mind that people carry concealed switchblades, daggers, all the other stuff that's on the street that you can go into any police evidence room and look at. It's just incredible. And and those people that say they need to carry it for defensive purposes, I give no credence to their argument. I also, you know, we hear a lot about the Supreme Court rulings and that. I don't think the Supreme Court has thrown out the responsibility of that we can't enforce some laws that control the social climate of those who will carry switchblades and others. Now, if we need to go back, maybe if we could take it to Fred Meyer and see if he would look at it and give some suggestions. I again could circulate around to Frank could take another look at it, but again, I tried to let as many people see it as possible that have given opinions on this issue before, with the exception of the courts. Be glad to give it another swing. I think, however, that Frank and I, when we discussed it originally, the premise of moving from one statute to two sections that both deal with firearms, that there was no need to deal with that, deal with one being firearms, the other all the other concealed weapons issues. You know, if you want us to put back in some of the language we struck out, I again have no real problem with that. I was just trying to make the statutes readable, legible, and certainly stand up against a court test.
It was, during the discussions, it was not an instruction to me to change. Most of these changes were not intended to be substantive changes, but as Representative Phillips has said, to clean up the language, to make the penalties uniform with the types of penalties that occur in the criminal code, say Class B misdemeanor, instead of a penalty of not less than $10 or more than $200, or imprisonment in county jail not less than 5 days, that old kind of archaic language. So most of this is cleanup, other than the switchblade knife language. It was intended to be, I think, cleanup language. There may be one or two other minor things, but
I might have cleaned it up too much.
Well, as I say, legally speaking, as I'm indicating, I had second thoughts at least about taking out dirk and dagger for the purposes I've said.
Okay. Representative Phillips, we're at your pleasure, I guess.
Well, if the committee feels that we should put in all the other language like dirk and dagger, I frankly don't know that we could clearly define the difference between a quote dirk and a quote dagger. Although if you go back, you probably could, specific enough. The intent there is clearly the instrument that's being used, the ice pick, for metal knuckles or brass knuckles, whatever you want to call them. I don't have any problem having them in there for illustrative purposes. However, I would not strike out the ability for some the district attorney to be able to use some other instrument that we may not put in there specifically. And I, maybe a wooden billy club is an idea. You could use that to if you were in the business of snatching purses, it'd be a pretty effective weapon, and you could conceal it easy enough. But I wouldn't try and list everything in the world that it could be used.
Okay. Representative Kopetsky, you're still hung up, I think, on the language, any instrument by the use of which injury could be inflicted upon the person or property of another. Is that correct?
Yes.
Are you going to make a motion to address that? I mean, the way we could do it is to put back into place the definition of metal, or the words metal knuckles, dirk, and dagger. And I would perhaps suggest we put in or instrument by the use of which could inflict, and maybe, you know, to use that language, all I did is take the word any, and I will admit that may be cosmetic more than anything else. But
or you could say any similar instrument, something language, something like that, if that's your concern.
Yeah, I would accept that's closer to what I'd like.
Okay, why don't I make the motion then that we amend the language in Section 2, starting with, on page 2, the words any dirk, dagger, and put those back in, and replace into the language metal knuckles or similar instrument by the use of which could be inflicted upon and any other person, and leave that other language that was struck out of it. Is that clear?
Yeah, I think that's better. I don't think. Yes.
Okay. I'm saying, folks, since these are your amendments, I'll just treat those as friendly amendments to your underlying amendments. Okay, we've noted your earlier amendments. Are there any other amendments to 2384?
Just line 28 on page 2. We could neutralize he.
What line?
28.
I think that's the only one to be
deleted.
Oh, I'm sorry. Great.
Okay. In all the amendments, Representative Phillips moves the proposed amendments to House Bill 2384 as amended, bearing the annotation House Bill 2384-1 and the date 3/21/85 as amendments to the purpose. Is there further discussion or comment? Representative Peterson?
I guess just what I've learned from this committee for the last 2 months makes me think that some of this language would never stand up in court. And I just base that on listening to people talking here for 2 months. I won't vote against it because it doesn't matter to me that much one way or the other, but it seems fairly weak in terms of what might go and what might not. But you guys are the experts.
Well, I think the distinction that has been made is that the court has not, as I interpret it, hasn't said we can't enact laws, period, in this area. And I think the way this language is drafted, we're talking about these kinds of things when they're concealed about a person. And it's the hope that we can act as it relates to things which may be weapons or are weapons, which are concealed.
Yeah, if I have an ice pick in my purse and I was stopped because I was driving too fast or something and was searched, would that be a concealed weapon?
There's a lot of other problems with the scenario you just described.
Well, I don't have to comment anymore.
I think that's
I'm going to support Representative Phillips in his effort here. I think the problem is when you get into the general language of any such instrument, but I applaud his work and efforts in this area.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, is there any objection to Representative Phillips' amendments as amended? If not, they're adopted. Representative Phillips?
Could I suggest we move this bill to full committee with
sure.
a due pass recommendation?
Okay. Representative Phillips moves House Bill 2384 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Okay. Clerk will call the roll.
Hill?
Aye.
Petsky?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Motion's adopted. Okay. Representative Johnson's bill 2366, the throwing star, I believe his concern with this bill has been addressed within the prohibition stated in the amended language of Representative Phillips' bill 2384. So the chair would move to table House Bill 2366. It's a non-debatable motion. The clerk would call the roll.
Hill?
Aye.
Petsky? Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Motion's adopted. Can we now have the fireworks bills? Council?
All right. I discussed with Representative Kopetsky earlier in the day the fact that he had some amendments coming on the fireworks bill. Apparently, he's been working with Mr. McConnelly on amendments. Mr. McCauley. And those amendments are not ready at this point in time for consideration by the committee.
Is Mr. McCauley still with us? Okay. Let's see if we can retrieve Representative Kopetsky and see what amendments he has in mind so we can at least discuss those and see what responses are coming. Okay, we've got 2329 to 2401. Council's advised us that you and Mr. McCauley have been working on amendments to one or more of the fireworks bills.
Yes, we are.
We have a couple individuals who I know are interested in those bills who are here with us tonight. Can you tell us what those amendments would propose and if there's any action we can take tonight on these two bills that are now before us?
We're still in negotiations over it. Mr. McCauley is talking to his board members, and I think we'll be ready by the end of this week or the first part of next week on those amendments. I'd rather, at this point, I think it would be a waste of the committee's time for me to go through some of the proposals that we've talked about at this point because he has to check in with some of his folks to see what direction they want to go. There's a couple of options out there, and before I recommend something to the committee, I want to make sure that it's palatable to some of the interest groups involved. I guess what I'm trying to do is figure out a way to keep rural fire districts included in the bill and would solve the concurrent jurisdiction problem in terms of local jurisdiction.
Okay, so one of the purposes would be to
maintain a role for fire protection districts. We asked, have you or do you intend to include the fire marshal's office in these discussions?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I'm sure they would be happy with what I come up with.
Okay. I know that, and we might as well speak, I think, candidly, because I think it's been discussed in earlier hearings, there's some concern by other manufacturers that the bills or the amendments may be an effort to prohibit what they now feel are legal sales or transactions regarding certain kinds of fireworks. And I believe one of the principals here, Mr. Moretta, is here, and his concern that's been expressed earlier, I think, by himself and his attorney, is that one of these bills or one potential set of amendments are going to put them out of business or are going to severely impact their business. Can you tell me if they're going to have a chance to be represented during the discussion of these amendments?
Why don't I make certain that they get a copy of the amendments before and have an opportunity to comment before we schedule this in work session again.
Okay.
And if we can resolve that difference.
Okay. Well, why don't you come up just briefly. I hate to keep you here all evening without giving you a chance to, you know, make sure that you might recap very briefly your concerns and also make sure that Representative Kopetsky and knows that you folks need to be included in any discussion of these amendments. Okay?
For the record, my name is Bill Verretti, and I again am Executive Secretary of the Oregon Fireworks Dealers Association, a group of six fireworks wholesalers, within the state of Oregon. Our concern with House Bill 2939, as we stated March 21st in testimony before the committee, is a question of constitutional interstate commerce of fireworks, which the Oregon State Legislature has allowed fireworks wholesalers for over 25 years to sell to out-of-state residents for direct shipment. And our concern also is based on the facts that although we realize there is concern within the state over illegal fireworks, we have never yet been able to establish a cause-effect relationship on where the fireworks come and where the problems come from. We feel that 2939 unfairly identifies the dealer as the cause of the problem rather than the individual. And the amendments which we have proposed would make the individual declare what his intentions are, and we feel that if there is a problem, although we never saw any arrests, nor any fires, nor any injuries that were connected to any members in our, any of our six members within our group, we definitely would like to be a part of any amendments or any proposals that are coming about, because we're talking about over 150 jobs for our, the six members of our association. We're talking about fireworks that were ordered in the fall, and we're talking about property and buildings which have already been leased on the anticipation that the rules were going to be similar to the rules passed by the Judiciary Committee and the legislature in 1983.
Okay. Representative Kopetsky, I know Mr. McCullough is not here, and I don't want to put you on the spot. I just want to make sure that Bill and the people he represents are part of any discussion on the amendments. And I don't think this committee or subcommittee wants to be in the position of trying to give anyone a competitive advantage with a change in the law. I think we want to respect the concerns that have been raised about whether or not action is going to impede upon interstate commerce. I think we want to the extent we can, create, if you will, a level playing field. And I would hope that Mr. McCullough and the people he represents are willing to be, abide by the same ground rules.
Well, Mr. Chair, I received a copy of the Washington State is proposing some legislation. But there's some legislation in Washington legislature quite similar to some of the legislation we have and some language. And I'm trying to look to see if we can try to match as much as possible because I don't like the state of Oregon doing something that's going to create a problem across the river, and the state of Washington doing something their legislature does to create a problem on this side of the river. And I hope that all the parties involved can get together and support this legislation. I don't know if we'll be able to or not, because I'm quite frankly interested in making sure that when we talk about out-of-state shipments, that there is truly that stuff goes out of state.
And our concern for the organization is, until we have some evidence where out of the six dealers there was an arrest, a situation, a fire, or an injury, we feel it is very unjust for our group to be accused of the fireworks not going out of state. And also, for the record, the state of Washington has now tabled their legislation, and if it's not brought up by Friday, will be a dead issue out of the state of Washington. And once again, I think we are not going to find any type of reciprocity agreement between the two states during this legislative session for either one of them.
Okay. Representative Kopetsky, do you know when a meeting is scheduled or when some discussion is going to be held on these amendments, or to review the situation in Washington if in fact they've stalled on their efforts up there?
I haven't. That's news to me, I guess.
I have a copy of the Oregonian article with me this evening.
It's not my intent to ever to ramrod something through.
I understand. Okay. We do have a representative of the Fire Marshal's Office here. Mr. Barnett, do you want to add anything as far as your understanding of where, quote, the negotiations are at, or any particular information to share with us this evening?
No, except that we certainly would like to be involved in the potential discussion on the
Okay. Representative Kopetsky, for better or for worse, you've assumed the responsibility for this subcommittee. Informal as it is, I think we just want to make sure that the parties that have so far expressed interest are represented at discussion on the amendments, because again, I think I sense a personal reluctance to step in the middle of an issue where opinions are so divergent that we can't find a consensus.
Well, you know, there's no question that the statistics show that amount of fires and injuries were increased last summer, and I've got a lot of firefighter friends that told me before any legislation was proposed, there's no question that the amount of property damage went up this last time, and I have a personal interest in helping protect kids and adults that are harmed by these devices, as well as to protect the amount of property damage it's caused, lessen that, and to reduce the amount of danger to fire protection personnel that's caused that time of year to them. So it may be, Mr. Chair, that I may not get the users or the economic interest in this to agree to my amendments, but I'm going to bring them before the committee, because they're going to be what I think is what would be best for the safety of Oregonians.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Young.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I asked you a question. Are the group, the organizations that you represent, do they have that practice of shipping something just a short distance by carrier?
Some do and some don't. Prior to 1983, and prior to the law that we're operating right now under, which was brought to this committee by the Oregon Independent State Association and the state fire marshal, it was legal for direct out-of-state shipment to hand fireworks over to a person if he sat in this chair for over 25 years. At that point in time, provision was put in that they had to be delivered to a common carrier. it never stated where the common carrier had been delivered.
Do you really think that the intent of that legislation was used just to drive it down to the corner when they talk about interstate commerce?
Representative Hill, I've gone through the archives, and I have the hearing tapes. There was no discussion at all. Mr. McCauley stood
up
and
the entire scheme of what this legislation is about and the type of fireworks that are allowed in this state.
Okay.
And it's not the type of fireworks that you're selling, that some of your people are selling.
That is absolutely correct.
Well, what I think you've done is I think you found, frankly, a loophole in the law. I don't think that that was intended. And I follow Representative Kopeski's remarks exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying is you're trying to tell us you're relying on something that was not intended. Because there's no statute, there's no scheme of any type of fireworks here that supports the fact that those type of fireworks are intended to be used in the state of Oregon. And then you say to us that you are relying on something that wasn't even intended. So I don't really know what duty we have to you in that respect.
Well, I suppose that way you have absolutely no duty to me. I have followed the intent of the legislation.
Yes,
the
name
of Oregonian. I have followed the law as it was written by the legislature.
That's right. But see, what we have to do is we're supposed to see that the law is drafted the way it was intended to be. Now, that was not, the situation that you're talking about was not what was intended by the legislation.
If the legislature intended that all fireworks that are not legal to be used in Oregon must be shipped outside the state of Oregon, it would be a major conflict with federal interstate commerce, the Church Act to be specific. So my only rationale as a representative for my dealers association is to say either the legislature intended it the way they wrote it.
We're not trying to stop you from shipping anything from out of state. We're trying to keep you from selling it in the state.
You're trying to keep me from delivering it within the state, not from selling it within the state.
Yeah, okay, well, yeah.
Okay. And that's where
that's
it comes.
Not interstate
that's
commerce.
Where it comes.
To drive from here to across the street is not interstate commerce.
No,
that's interstate commerce.
If a person buys for delivery outside the state, example, I purchased some fireworks from Idaho. Okay? Their ultimate destination is a show that I'm going to shoot in California. I have those fireworks delivered to me in Oregon with a shipping label that they're going to California. That is interstate commerce of fireworks. Identical thing happens on the 4th of July in Oregon. A resident from outside the state comes to Oregon, fills out a bill of lading, and says, I'm going outside the state. At that point, he enters into the realm of interstate commerce.
I think that would be one for the courts.
Okay.
Yeah.
In South Dakota, it has gone to the court, and the South Dakota Supreme Court has ruled in favor of the fireworks dealer.
Let me say for the record, Mr. Chairman, that my intention would be, if it's not done, it's not recommended by anyone else in the committee, to close that loophole to do what the legislature intended, and that is that those type of fireworks that are not intended to be used in this state are in fact shipped out, and that's not a prohibition of any kind of interstate commerce when you actually ship them out. So that's my position on it.
Okay. Any further questions or comments on the proposed amendments or the policy issue that's presented as Representative Hill has defined it? Representative Kopetsky?
Just that, I mean, again, I guess that members of the committee and a variety of interest groups, whether it's economic or state fire marshals office or anybody else, my intent to make sure that everybody gets a copy of any amendments that are proposed to the writing. There is nothing in writing.
Okay. Bill, I know we've got your address and how to get a hold of you in our record, and we'll make sure that copies of any proposed amendments are forwarded to you, and if you wish to check back with our committee office to get copies of those, please feel free to do so.
Very good.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion on these two fireworks bills, 2939 or 2401?
Excuse me, just 2939. Okay, if not, 2401, explosives. Were there any amendments proposed to these bills? Why don't you come forward, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Member of the committee, Harry Barnett, representing the State Farm Marshal. I sent some amendments proposed by mail last week. Were they received and distributed? If not, I have copies I could pass around if you want.
Was it this letter, dated the 21st? There's some proposed amendments in this one.
No. Well, if you have a couple extra copies there. Okay, why don't you just take us through those amendments?
Okay, after the first hearing on this and reflecting on the testimony and the comments were made, I had some concerns whether we were still